We have the privilege of hearing from Dinesh Chand. He and his wife Rachel and a couple of their children are here with us today. You may have noticed the booth in the back. We've partnered with Dinesh and Rachel Chand for, I think 3 or 4 years now. They are the founders of Forefront Mission, which is a ministry to North India. And they minister in one of the least evangelized states of India. And we're so thankful for the partnership we share with them. I've known Dinesh for over 18 years now. And we share quite a history, and just we can laugh at at some of the history that we've walked through. And I remember his bachelor party that I helped throw. It was a pretty lame bachelor party, but it was fun just to hang out with you. I mean, when I look back, I'm like, man, Dinesh, he deserved a lot better than that. But we had good hamburgers and good fellowship. It was at my apartment. That was then, this is now. And here you are, 18 years later, 16 years after Forefront has begun, and God has done amazing, amazing things through Forefront and through Rachel and Dinesh. And I'm excited for you guys to hear from them. Now, they've been with us a couple times now, and so for many, they're not strangers, they're friends, and we're just so grateful for you being here. So let's welcome Dinesh as he comes to share.
Well, you know, I come from a culture where I didn't know anything about bachelor's party. So it might be a lame for his side, but for me, it was just fine. You know, because first party for me. You know, I never had the attended party or didn't know anything about it. Anyway, I really appreciate all of you for all your prayer and support. We have just driven, my wife has, she's the one who drives, actually. Because if I drive, I tend to go on the left side. And, that's probably won't go very well here. And she's been driving, and day for yesterday, she drove almost, we left at 6 o'clock, and we reached here at 11:30 in the midnight. So that's a long, lot of hours. So anyway, I really appreciate all of you and your support and prayer for the ministry that is happening in North India. We have a small video that I'd like to show you, but before we show the video, I'd like us to just close our eyes and let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, God, that you have saved us from the dark, dark world, and you have brought us into your light. We thank you that you have not only given us the light, but you have given us a purpose. You have given us a joy. You have given us the peace. Father, we pray that we would be able to take this light that you have given to us, to others, the joy that you have given to us, that we will be able to share, the peace that you have given to us, that we would bring that peace to many others who are lost, hungry, and thirsty. Thank you for bringing a meaning and a purpose in our life. Allow us, Lord, help us, Lord, how we can bring that meaning and that purpose into others' lives, in our community, in our circle, and wherever we go. We thank you, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The North Indian mountain state of Himachal Pradesh is known as the abode of gods. Every mountain peak dedicated to a Hindu deity. Occult practices like witchcraft and animal sacrifice are common in this region even today. Desperate to find peace and joy, they ardently follow their rituals. The name of Jesus is a foreign word here, and there are less than 8 Christians for every 10,000 people in this region.
The evil spirit tormented me. I would run into the forest every night, and my family would come looking for me.
Satan made my life miserable. There was no joy in our family.
I just wanted to die. There was no reason for me to live anymore.
Dinesh Chand was born in this very state of Himachal Pradesh. Since childhood, he has had a deep desire to know God personally.
I was seeking the truth. I wanted to know God. I wanted to really experience God face to face. So I started asking this question to my parents. Is it possible for me to actually experience God?
And just like Dinesh, people here have sought the divine in their own ways.
We turned to the gods for help. The priest took a lot of money from us.
We used to carry our god in a palanquin on our shoulders. We had total faith that this god would do something for us.
I hoped for somebody to rescue us.
I was a shaman and had a metal rod pierced through my cheeks.
Dinesh continued to search for the true God, but it only left him frustrated. It wasn't until years later that he had a chance encounter with an American tourist in a cafe who introduced him to Jesus. Dinesh met the woman over the next 3 years, and on her third trip to India, he began to feel his heart change. Finally, he committed his life to Jesus. 9 years after Dinesh came to Christ, he met Rachel, and they knew God had a special call on their life together. Shortly after they married, Dinesh received a vision to go back to his own people with the gospel.
This is a place where even human sacrifices have happened. This is a place where temples are built in every corner, in every 1 kilometer distance you go. They're so tormented by the devil in this place. This is a place where demonic activities and the witchcraft is so prominent.
They moved to Himachal and learned to depend completely on the Lord by building a foundation through prayer journeys. After months of seeking God, traveling into deep remote areas, crossing over mountains and visiting villages and towns, Dinesh finally heard from God.
And 18 months later, the Lord clearly spoke to us and He said, I want you to train and disciple the local indigenous people with the purpose to plant churches. I said, Lord, thank you so much. Finally, we had some strategy from Him.
With this vision firmly in place, Forefront Missions was born in 1999 with a focus on training the local people.
I still remember very first training. I was very excited. And at very first training, only 4 people came up to our training. I said, Lord, only 4 people. Here we're trying to reach over 6 million people and only 4 people came for training. I said, Lord, this math doesn't go too well here. And the Lord said to me and reminded us, do not despise the small beginning. We trained those 4 people. We sent them back. And as they went back to their village, I said, you come back after a few weeks. They came back. They brought 4 more people. We did another training, sent them back. They came back. They brought 8 more people and 16 and 20 and 30. And we had 60 people right in our living room. The people that we are training here, I mean, they're not highly intelligent, intellectual, or some kind of a qualified theologians. They're simple, ordinary people. And God is using these simple people to reach their own people.
2 of the leaders trained by Forefront Mission are Suresh and Pinku.
The influence of evil spirits is very strong in people's lives here. They sacrifice animals, hoping for deliverance, but nothing happens. So a lot of people come to the church because the news has spread that people get healed and delivered here. We started with just 2 families and today we are 30. A lot of people have been healed and a lot of people come to receive healing.
Forefront projects are reaching Hindus in practical ways. A simple project to teach someone to sew or read is transforming lives for Jesus.
So, you know, in many of the areas where we have churches, you know, these churches have started just from a sewing center where we've opened a center and, you know, many of the Hindu women have come. They don't know anything about the Lord, but when they come to our centers, they commit to sit in Bible study, to sit in prayer, to sit in worship, and after 10 months of learning to sew and sitting through those meetings, almost everybody who sits in those meetings leaves coming to know the Lord, and a new church has been planted.
When these women go from here, I hope they will not only take a skill, but will also share the word of God with others.
Many are being saved each year through the continuous hard work of the church planters and pastors. The burden from years of bondage is being lifted. Hundreds and thousands are accepting Christ, receiving baptism, and fully committing their lives to following Jesus. This is Banka Ram. He spent years practicing healing through spirits until one day a friend invited him to church.
I could have never imagined the miracle God has done in my life. I have a wonderful family. All of them have taken baptism. I am so happy today. God has given me everything. I could not ask for more. My desire is to serve the Lord the rest of my life.
Rukmani is another example of a changed life. She was happily married with three children until one day someone cast a spell on her family. Their business failed. Her husband left her for another woman. And almost instantly, she became very sick. And as a last resort, she accepted an invitation from a friend to go to church.
When they started praying, all of a sudden my body became light, as if something left my body. I just felt completely light.
How is the relationship between you and your husband?
Very good. Very good. He's not with her.
How does he treat you?
Very well. He is very good.
Does he love you?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Today, the work of the Holy Spirit is evident in the lives of the people here, and the smiles on their faces bear witness to it. Families are changed because of the relentless efforts of the pastors and leaders. Nothing has deterred them, not even the rugged mountainous terrain.
In the rainy season, as you see, though often the road will be washed away, the mountains, the landslide, the mountain will come down, the trees will come down. So those challenges are there.
So how do the evangelists get from one place to another?
Well, they walk. You know, mostly they walk for hours and hours. Sometimes they walk over there. And because the bus service is so limited, so then they will have to either wait for 24 hours for another bus to come, or they will have to just stay there until they have some way to get back.
Transportation is a big problem here, and that's why I'm not able to reach on time. On my way back home, I often have to break my journey and stay somewhere overnight. How far is your home? 23 kilometers.
But the rough terrain is not the only obstacle that lies before them. Persecution is also on the rise. Many leaders have faced much opposition from the community. Even Dinesh's own life has been threatened.
After I finished the church service, I was going to go to another village, and I was surrounded by almost 25 people, and they were not happy because I'm there. I still remember that actually they plotted against me, that they would follow me and actually push me with our van, with our jeep, off the mountain, and they would cause it like an accident. By chance, there was one boy who had just got saved. He heard the conversation, what was they plotting against me, and he came before they arrived, and they told me, and of course, I changed my route.
In May 2012, about 41 Hindu fanatics broke into our church. They beat my co-workers and me. They broke our musical instruments and caused a lot of damage.
The event was reported to the police and the attackers were arrested.
People said after this incident, you won't find any believers or a church here anymore. But even today the church exists here and is growing. And after that conflict, one more church was established.
As the number of believers here grows, there's a pressing need for permanent places of worship.
And as we started sharing the gospel into a small setting in the homes, we started seeing this flood of people coming inside. I mean, they were people coming and they want to listen. I mean, I still remember some of our first few of those prayer meetings that we conducted in the homes. I thought maybe there would be only one family or two family, and we'll start in the night. Usually that's when it really happened, 8 o'clock. We thought, okay, you know, we'll do for about 1 hour or 2 hours meetings and then we'll pack up or we'll go to sleep. But some nights we even had until 4 o'clock in the morning. People just kept coming, and they would the room would be overcrowded. It's like a 50 or 60 or 70 people in this tiny, tiny room.
Forefront Mission's vision is to disciple and train more leaders with the aim to take the gospel to their own people groups. The ultimate vision is to see a church planted in every remote, unreached village in North India.
In other words, in every village, people, those who have believed in Christ, they have an opportunity to worship the Lord, and those who do not believe, they have an opportunity that they can go to a church and be prayed for and get to know Jesus. That's our vision.
Millions continue to live in darkness, hungry and thirsty for deliverance and peace. Sometimes all it takes is simple faith and a simple prayer to break through the darkness, giving new hope and new future and a new life to someone looking for the truth.
God saved my whole family and blessed us. I pray that God does this for everyone, that the ones in sorrow may find the joy I found.
I am completely fine and healthy. Jesus has healed me and made me strong.
I am perfectly all right now. I keep experiencing His miracles in my everyday life.
Jesus is our God, the Son of God. He is my Lord.
God has filled my life with joy and blessing. My husband and children are doing well.
At Forefront Missions, we have seen so much fruit in the midst of darkness through the efforts of local indigenous people. We can multiply it many folds by joining hands together to transform this dark world into His light.
And now we see it's just like a fire. You know, in the mountain, the fire, you start from one end. It doesn't stop. It just keeps moving because the wind picks up and the wind supports it, and it just keeps moving. And we see how the entire mountain is covered by fire.
Let's come together and pray for an all-consuming fire to illuminate the hearts of people in northern India. We invite you to partner with us to help fulfill this vision. Your prayers, financial gifts, and donations will make all the difference.
Thank you. That's just a small glimpse of what God is, we are able to show you what God is doing in that part of the world. We are so thrilled and so thankful to God and really anticipating this great move that God will reach so many people out there. There's so many lost, so many hungry. It still needs to be reached. If you have a Bible, I would like you to open your Bible in book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. It's a very common verse, and I'm sure you have read it many times, but I'd like to bring in your attention. It says, "Then he said to his disciple, in verse 37, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Then it said, therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. In the verse 37, it says, the harvest, and the word there was written is called truly in between. Truly is plentiful. This scripture it's not written just yesterday, it's been written 2,000 years ago. And it's been there. So if we reflect back, even at that time, the harvest was plentiful. Because they were writing about that time. And if we look today, the harvest is plentiful. So nothing has changed. You see, the picture of this harvest hasn't changed. At that time also it says, but the laborers are few. And today also, we can pretty much say the laborers are few. Now we are reaching to 6-7 billion people. Now if you really do a survey, very small fraction of percentage actually who are involved in his work, on his kingdom. And after 1,000 years ago, if you read it, it will be the same. It will be the same. I think we probably say, well, the laborers are few. So now that really brings a question. That raises a question. What are we going to do about it? Are we going to read the same way? The people who came before us, they read in the same way. We are reading in the same way. The generation after us comes, they will read the same way. Or are we supposed to do something? I truly believe that we have an obligation. We have this mission. We have this mandate towards the kingdom. We have a responsibility. If we are reading the scripture, if we believe in the scripture, it says truly, the harvest is plentiful. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. So what are we going to do about it? I want you to know something, that God is really waiting on us. He's waiting on you and I, how we can be involved in his kingdom. Somehow, in a very conventional way, or in a traditional way, we have always thought this way. Well, this is a job, or this is a work of only few people. But I want you to know today that those few people have failed to do this job. So that really changes a little bit dynamics over here. That means job doesn't belong to just few people. Or who are those few people? Perhaps pastors and leaders of the church. You know, it's not just limited to them. Actually, this scripture is being available for all of us now, that we all can become a part of the scripture and bring the true reality, the true picture, what is in God's heart, what is in God's in his mind when he thinks about the scripture. I was about 3 years ago, I was in one of the trainings that I was doing, and there was one guy, he was sitting at the very back. And as I was doing the training, I saw him, he was really answering quite a number of questions, and he was very curious about what's going on. So at the end of the service, at the end of the training, I said to him, I want you to come for our other training that we are doing. And he started coming for those trainings. And almost after a year later, I said, well, you know, I think you should go back to your village now and start a small fellowship or prayer meeting or whatever gathering you can start. He said, okay, I'll do it. So he started a gathering in his home. And 1 year went by, and after 1 year, he called me. He said, we are celebrating a one-year gathering. Would you come and participate in our celebration? I said, sure. In the back of mind, I thought, well, there might be 10, 15, 20 people, 30 or 40 people. And so I went to his house. When I went to his house and in this gathering, I was completely surprised that there was almost close to 200 people sitting in this small room. And I was just, I thank God. I said, wow, what a wonderful job this man is doing. Now, if you want to know the condition of this man is completely blind. He cannot see. His wife has to go with him every place. Now, can you imagine a man who is completely blind, physically restricted, but he is helping others to see Christ. And that's the laborers we are really talking about. It's only his intention is the one that qualified him to become a true laborer. It is his heart. God, actually, today, I truly believe that he's passing further and beyond our limitations, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual or whether it's physically or any limitation that we might think or qualification. He's actually looking beyond that you and I think. What do we think? We think, you know, we think about the qualification and experience and let's see what all things that you can do, the giftings and all sorts of things that we see. But our God sees beyond, even today in 21st century. I want us to step back and look into the scripture and say, God, you're saying here, 2,000 years ago, you said, and you were in this dilemma, and you said, but the laborers are few. Are we going to continue to read in the same way? Do I have any role in it? Or does this scripture only belongs to few people? I truly believe that we are part of this great kingdom. We are part of his heart, and we have a responsibility to bring that heart to others. We have a responsibility, we have obligation, like I said earlier. There was a man, he was a Hindu priest, and he was a very known Hindu priest in his area. Every 6 days a week, or 7 days, I would say, he would go to temple, follow ritual, do sacrifice, and all sorts of things that he was involved. Now, suddenly his wife became very sick. And so he started doing other rituals, and he took her to the temples and did all kind of things. Nothing happened. Almost trying out for a few months. Finally, somebody said, why don't you take your wife to this prayer meeting or gathering that happens in the nearby? Now, can you imagine being a priest who is responsible for the temple? Now, he's being asked to go to this Christian church while he's still carrying out his priesthood responsibility in that temple. It was hard for him. It was difficult for him. But he saw the need of his wife. He said, okay, he's going to go over there. So 6 days, he would follow the temples. And the seventh day on a Sunday, he will go to the church, bring his wife. And can you imagine? God did an amazing work. God overlooked his daily responsibility that he had towards that temple. And grace of God, and the love of God, the compassion, the passion of love, God flew through that. And even then, God healed his wife. What a great God we serve. Isn't that something? We serve a most gracious, the most wonderful, the most loving God who does not look into. I may be going to a temple, you know. I mean, those people are going to temple. And still God overlooks. And he says, no, I see the deep need of your heart, and I'm going to address that. And today, of course, his wife got healed, and then he gave his heart to Jesus. He left the priesthood, and today he's one of the pastors in the area. That is the way God is choosing and picking up people in that part of the world. I don't know how many of you, I mean, if you read in the, of course, Luke also says the same thing. And let me bring another scripture in your attention. It's John 4:35. I'm sure you read it this also. He said, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. This is again 2,000 years ago. They're reading at that time, and we're reading 2,000 years later. And I truly believe, I truly see the harvest is plentiful. There's so many people. I mean, in my traveling, even today, when I travel in the U.S. or other places, I see all the time. The moment I start talking about God, people actually, truly, they immediately start gluing towards me. It's just like, okay, tell us more about it. tell us more. And of course, we have a dialogue and discussions, and many times, it's just in a few hours of conversation, you know, they have accepted Christ. When I'm driving, I always give a lift to the people, you know. And when I give them a lift, you know, I start talking to them. And by the time I finish, their destination comes. They have accepted the Lord, you know. And that's a good way to have a conversation. Of course, I know I'm not suggesting you need to be in America, because America could be quite different and difficult also, as I understand, you know. But there are people who are ready. In the book of Joel, it says, multitude, in book of Joel 3:16, it says, multitude are in the valley of the season, for the day of the Lord is near. You see? There are people who are in the midst of decision. Because we are not going, so they are falling into New Age. They are falling into Buddhism and Hinduism and Muslim and so forth. Because we sit back and relax. Because this scripture hasn't come true to us. I want us to understand, looking into the light of God in His kingdom. What is my role? Am I a laborer, or do I need to become a pastor for that? No. We all qualify. Because we all, I'm sure you love the Word of God. I love the Word of God too. It is absolutely true and clear. We ought to follow. And I believe when you make that decision to follow Him, things will change. How many of you, I'm sure you have heard about Genghis Khan. That's a little piece of history. He was one of the most ferocious, one of the most dangerous, but one of the most successful emperor of his time. He was so dangerous, or he was such a king, from all the way from China, Mongolia, to all the way almost all the Asia, and then also part of Europe he won. And he was the victorious king of his time. He made this big, huge dynasty. Now, by the way, he was not a Muslim, even though his last name was Muslim. He was inclined towards a Muslim, but he never became Muslim. His grandson, who was a Kublai Khan, who had this huge kingdom, was given to him. Now, Kublai Khan he sat on the throne, and he saw, well, I have this kingdom in front of me. Now I can rule it and take it however I want. But he was seeking to know some, in spite of having all this kingdom, in spite of knowing that he is the king of his time, he was not satisfied. He wanted to know about Christianity. So he wrote a letter to Pope at the time. And he asked him, his letter says, I am very interested in Christianity. I want to know about Christ. I want to know about Jesus. Would you send, and he even said the number, how many people, in order for me to turn or to accept Christianity or to make my people known or learn about Christianity, I want you to send 100 missionaries or monks or whatever you call them to me, so we can learn about Christianity. And guess what? How many people Pope sent? Only 2. There was an opportunity that he could have sent 100 or more, but he only sent 2. And they also never reached to Mongolia. Halfway, they turned around because they were so furious, they were so afraid that they might get killed. Now, why I'm sharing about this story is because at that time, even back in 13 centuries, we were reading this scripture, but the laborers are few. Even though the opportunity was there for Pope to send 100 laborers, even then they couldn't understand, and they failed. I think you and I can do better than them. We have this wonderful opportunity in this 21st century that we can change the history, we can change the entire move, that we don't have to depend on what has happened in the past, but we can learn from it and say, you know what? I am part of His kingdom, and I'm going to move forward and do something great in His kingdom, because I have an obligation for His kingdom. It's amazing what God is doing. I was just there in India, before we had a baptism service. It's very unusual stories that's happening. And the baptism service, there was one man. God has healed him powerfully. He actually was having some kind of a leprosy, and he was healed. And the wound was still not fully dried. So then he came to me. He said, well, my wound is still not dried on my foot, so should I take water baptism? I said, you don't have to take it now. You can wait for another month because we have every month, you know. So he said, okay. And we started getting ready for our baptism. And then in a few minutes, I saw him. He snuck in the line of baptism. He just immediately snuck inside. And of course, you know, we are not going to stop anybody. And he had a plastic wrapped in his foot. Now, why I'm telling you? Because these people, I mean, he was already sharing about Jesus. And he felt that if I don't take a baptism, I may not be able to share about Christ to others. I want to tell, I want to follow, I want to do everything possible that is needed for me to tell others about Jesus. Can you imagine? Can you imagine people sneaking in the baptism line? And that's what God is doing in that part of the world. Just recently, there was a village that we have one village, and this over the 13,000 feet elevation, there's another village. There is a huge, very large and high mountain. So one of these girls that was newly married in this, and she went to that village. So one day she was going down in her field and cutting some grass, and she had this Nokia phone. I don't know, I'm sure you have seen those lightweight, really, really lightweight, one of those early days Nokias. And it was very light, and she just put it on the side as she was doing her work. While she was doing her work, suddenly a crow, I'm sure you have seen crows, right? Do you have crows in your, they are really tricky and cunning crows, right? So the crow came, and right in front of her eyes, came and picked up her phone and flew away. Now, it does sound pretty a kind of amazing story, like maybe I'm making up, or maybe I'm telling sort of a Narnia story, but that's not really, it's a true, it really happened. Like cross-checked and cross-checked again and again, making sure that I am not being fooled by this, right? And the crow really came and picked up this phone, Nokia phone, and flew away. She was very upset. I'll be upset too. You know, it doesn't matter who take it, whether crow or human, right? So, and flew away, and so she started praying. A very new believer started praying, came home, shared what happened with her husband, and they both started praying. Next day, they said, okay, we'll go back in the field and we'll look for it. Perhaps the crow must have dropped somewhere. So they went again and prayed and praying and looked for the phone, but couldn't find. So they came home very disappointed. So on the third day, again, they prayed. And they went back in the forest again and looking for the phone again. They couldn't find halfway. They were having lunch. And while they were having lunch, suddenly an eagle came right on very close to them, right hovering just maybe this, maybe even lower than that. And you can see eagle has something in its claws now. Now, don't think it had an iPhone in it. That was not the case. You know, but it came very close, and right in front of their eyes, the eagle dropped something. And guess what it was? It was the same Nokia phone that they had lost. Now, how is it possible a crow steals and eagle brings it back? Now, of course, we live in a very digital age. We live in a very advanced society. You know, we can believe for iPhone to do impossible thing. And we can believe Siri, we can talk to Siri and literally do anything for us. Right? But we can't believe that God can do something like that. I mean, we sit in front of computer and do all kind of tricks and, I mean, you know what I'm talking about it. We can believe for the technology to do anything like that, but somehow we fail to believe that God can do. But I want you to know something. God is doing something beyond we can think and imagine. Because of that testimony, the church was planted in that area. How did it happen? They start thinking, oh my goodness, who is this God that actually a bird would steal and another bird will bring? Just with a simple prayer, with no sacrifice, no ritual, nothing happened, nothing was done. But their God answered the prayer. I want you to know that God is waiting on us to answer our prayer. just like this. Devil may try to steal us, destroy us, kill us, but God is there to restore everything the devil is trying to steal. Just like this crow was trying to steal, but the eagle delivered. Can we say amen to that? God is waiting on us. He is truly, truly waiting on us. In that part of the world where we live, it is no doubt, you know, historical, nothing has ever happened there. If you pick up a history and you saw the video, every single person that you saw on that video, if you ask the questions, how many years, I mean, number one, they all are from Hindu background. None of them have any background about Christianity. In fact, they don't even understand what is denominations. I mean, they have no clue about denomination. They don't know who is Baptist, who is Methodist, who is this, who is that. They have no idea. And I'm glad they don't know anything about it, in a way, you know, because they know about Jesus. And that's what matters the most. It's not the denomination that would actually fill our heart. It's the Christ is the one who would fill our hearts. It's the Christ who gives us the hope and the joy. It's the Christ who brings peace in us. And that's what's really happening. And today we see again and again. We started our work in the beginning. I still remember when we started back in, you know, almost 16, 17 years ago. We didn't have anything in our hands. We were, my wife and I, we were just two of us. We did not even have children back then. You know, we were just two of us. We didn't have anything. But our hearts were full of hope because we know God has called us to serve Him. What capacity, we do not know. And that's very important to know here. You know, I was a pastoring a church prior to that in Delhi. And I had some other experience in many other fields. And it was easy when we moved up in the mountain. It was easy for me to say, okay, well, let's do this over here because this is what I'm good at. Because I have pastor church, I can do that. I can teach, I can do all these things. But then God really reminded us, you know, it's not your qualification I'm interested in. If I'm interested, I'm interested in you. And I will qualify you when the right time comes. And that's what really happened. I want you to know something, that you all are qualified. But if you're looking into a certain area, that this is the area where I am, sometimes it doesn't work that way, because that's not the way it works in my life. Because it only simply worked is in your heart. It's your intention. It's your heart is the one that would qualify you to serve in His kingdom. It's not your gifting, how good you can teach or how good you can speak or how well you can sing or play. That doesn't really matter. What it matters is your heart. If you want to be a laborer, you be a laborer. Like you are simply ready to serve Him in any way how God provides. It's your heart. It's your intention of your heart is the one that would qualify you or ultimately bring you to the path that He wants you to serve Him. And sometimes we don't get to start there. Why? Because we think, you know, oh, that is the way everybody serves the ministry. That is the way we all can be involved in the kingdom. But I want you to think beyond that, past that, so you can be a free man in His kingdom. Be free in His kingdom is because you are thinking beyond the conventional or the traditional way of serving God. Because we have, literally, we can see the scripture right here. 2,000 years have gone by. We have adopted many methods and thought, okay, well, I go to seminary, I do. I'm not against of seminary, by the way, so don't take me wrong. I'm not against of learning and studying all those things. Those are important. And they will come in the right time, and it will be used in your ministry. But the more important is that can I read this scripture and say, I am that laborer. I am that laborer. I can tell you, I can give you a guarantee that once you decide that, God will actually tame you, I would say, or He will lead you to that right ministry that you will be productive. I still remember in the beginning, you know, that when in the beginning, one day I had this question, you know. I said, God, you've been asking, you know, we've been praying and praying, and how long, you know. I said, Lord, how long do you want us to pray? And this is what God said to us. He said, you know, whatever you do, Dinesh, I'm going to bless you. There's no doubt about it. The blessing of God is a promise. in our lives, regardless of where we live, where we go, what we do. It's a promise when we serve him. But then he said, seek my face. Pray and seek my face, and you'll be blessed beyond you can imagine. So take your pick. That's what the word God said to us. So when we seek him, when we say, okay, God, I am all yours. I want to serve you. I can tell you that God will lead you to the right place. So here we see the scripture. Then it says, therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest. Pray. So we ought to pray here so that we can bring this scripture into reality. The scripture becomes personal. It's not just pray so somebody will go. Actually, it's not that. It's like how I can be involved in this. Because God is doing an amazing, amazing work. And he wants to use all of us. There's no doubt about it. And he wants to add, you know, such an amazing experience in our lives that we can see God face to face. We can see, just like you saw in the story, in the video, many people are experiencing his miracle on a daily basis. I just had another testimony. Is there was a man, and he and his family have been a bonded labor or a slave under this man for years, as long as they can remember. So then suddenly this man, he was very sick, so he sent his son, who is 25 years old, to go to the landlord and ask for some money so he can take him to the hospital. He went there, and the landlord said, I can't give you too much money. I can't help you with this. So they didn't know anywhere to go. They had no idea. And finally somebody said, why don't you go to this prayer meeting nearby? And the son came, and God touched him. And then he brought his dad, and God touched him. Healed dad in that meeting. Now the word went to the landlord, the owner. He said, how is it possible? And what happened? And you wouldn't be surprised that the landlord came to the church the following Sunday, and God touched him too. So can you imagine? Landlord and the slave, or the bonded labor, got delivered same time by God. That is the way our God is doing today. You will be surprised. I mean, I had an opportunity to baptize people, 3 generations. I mean, the father and the son. I mean, father and his wife, a mother, and son and his son's wife, and the grandson and the grandson's wife. All 3 in one go, standing in line, and they want to follow Jesus. And not only follow Jesus, the real word here is not just to follow him for their personal gain, but actually what they have experienced, they want to share with others. They want to tell them about how Jesus has delivered them, how Jesus has given them a hope and a joy that they never had. I want us to have the similar experience in this 21st century. I want us that we can see unusual experiences. I want us to see that we can talk to sometime birds, and the birds will come and do an amazing work for us. Today, I don't know how many of you know, there's so many people having dreams, especially in Middle East, dreams about Jesus Christ. In India, there are so many people who are having dreams of Jesus, who have actually persecuted Jesus, all persecuted people who are against of, who are not believing in Jesus. They've been persecuted, but even in that place today, they're having dreams about Jesus and giving their heart to Jesus. I want us to take this scripture to our heart. This is the true word of God. And can we ask and we pray, God, I am going to read this scripture that says, but the workers, the laborers are few. This few word must be changed because I am part of that. And that's a reality. I want to bring this scripture into the reality as we pray that God will raise, he's not going to sin, he was going to raise in every church, every single person that believes in Christ, loves Jesus Christ, will become his laborer in certain capacity. I truly believe, and we will see miracles. We will see things that beyond that we can imagine and think about. God is waiting on all of us. He is waiting on all of us. This is my prayer. This is my prayer. In the area where we live, in last 16, 17 years, God has allowed us to plant over 125 churches. And every single face you saw in that video, they all have come from a Hindu background. They have got saved from now till 15 years. Can you imagine? And today they are the ones who are going further and beyond I can go. There are more than 30,000 Hindu believers who are worshiping the Lord every Sunday in those churches. And our goal is in the next 5 years that we want to see 1,000 churches being planted in that part of the world. People will have opportunity to come to know about Jesus and be prayed for. That is our vision. I am so thankful that this church has been standing with us in a hand-to-hand partnership to reach those people who have never been reached in the history. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Dinesh. Thank you for sharing. What a privilege it is. I just can't think of anything more exciting than reaching unreached people with the truth of the gospel. And we get to do this. We get to partner with Forefront Mission. We get to stand with them in prayer. We get to support them financially. It's really an honor. You know, as Dinesh was sharing, I just want to point out a few things in this text that stood out to me and what I think might serve us as a church to think through. A lot of what he was saying. Before Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, if we back up just a little bit, it says Jesus went through all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, what happened? He had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, and they were like sheep without a shepherd. Have we adopted the heart of Christ for the lost and broken? Are we compassionate? Does our heart ache? Does our heart break for the things that break God's heart? Are we going to obey the command of Jesus here? This is a command. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask him. Jesus is inviting us. He's calling us to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the harvest. Into his harvest. So are we going to obey the command of Jesus? Are we going to expect the Lord to use us? Ordinary men and women. Ordinary men and women. And do we believe God can use anyone? Anyone. You included. Me included. We need to stop being so restrictive when we think laborers. We are laborers, is what Dinesh is saying. We are missionaries to our city. We have a sphere of influence, a people that we're touching and influencing and we're living around that no one else is, that we can share Christ with. We are laborers and we're called to pray for more laborers. We should not be praying for laborers if we don't first consider ourselves laborers. That doesn't really make sense. We pray for laborers but don't want to be a laborer ourselves. So I believe God can help us here really gain some perspective on what our calling is as Christians. We cannot just sit on the truth of Jesus. If it's changed our lives, then we're invited into this wonderful opportunity of sharing that truth with others. And I want to encourage you as a church. I've seen it. I've seen how you invest in each other's lives, how you love one another, how you're eager to grow in the knowledge of who God is and what he's done. You reach out to new Christians and non-Christians. But let's believe God to do that more and more through our lives, through this community. Let's believe God to open up our doors even more to our community so that we can show them and share with them who Jesus really is. Just in closing, in Acts 4, the whole time you were speaking, this came to mind. In Acts 4, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Peter and John, we don't really think of them as unschooled and ordinary men. They were just like you and me. Ordinary. But God used them. They had been with Jesus. Let's believe God to do that in our hearts and our lives too, to use us. It's a courageous prayer. It's going to require faith. Earlier this morning, I asked Dinesh, or I was talking to him, and he told me that people ask, what's the secret, Dinesh? 125 churches. And he said, this isn't me. This is God's work. But he said also, he looked at me and he said, I'm just not afraid to fail. And that hit me. That really served me. I think we can be afraid to fail. Afraid we're not going to say the right things in the right way. So afraid that we'll just leave this ministry of bringing the truth of God's love and grace to someone else. They'll get it right. We've really got to confess that to the Lord and ask him to remove that fear and be willing to step out in faith. And if we fail, get up again. If we mess up, if we don't get it all right, who cares? Let's step out in faith. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your mercy and grace on our lives this morning. Thank you for what you've brought to us this morning through Dinesh and Rachel, and thank you for their ministry. God, we pray that you would bless them, that you would protect them, that you would use them. Father, that you would, number one, bless their marriage, that you would increase their love and joy in each other, their friendship, that you would surround them with friends and individuals, couples that can be a strength to them, that you'd bless their family, that their children would grow in the fear and love of you, that you would also, Lord, give them great wisdom and humility as they move forward in ministry, that God, you would continue to raise up laborers there in North India. We're excited about what we've seen. It's only the beginning. And Father, would you also stir our hearts? If you would call some of us to be used to reach unreached people groups in ways like Rachel and Dinesh, then Lord, would you do that? Would you continue to stir our hearts? Individuals right now sitting in this room that might be called to foreign mission. All of us, though, Lord, we pray, would be stirred in our hearts to reach the unreached of our city. The people who have a fuzzy picture of Jesus in their minds. A people who have never read scripture, maybe for themselves. Our neighbors, our co-workers. Stir our hearts, we pray. And we ask right now, Lord of the harvest, to send out workers into the harvest field. Amen.